Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
Dion.
All right,
Dion,
Kenny, we get it. We talked Dion Sanders on the podcast.
Dion.
Also, we react to Rodney McLeod's explosive commentary on the Tyreek Hill saga in Miami. I basically went after the fans again.
And where Northern Illinois ranks. And also Dion.
On the emerging podcast scene presented by Extend Technologies.
The first 4 hours were simply an amuse-bouche.
I'm stuffed. I can't remember the last time I ate this much.
Sure you don't want no dessert?
Not for me.
I'm good.
Your table is now ready for Carmen and Lima's emerging podcast scene.
We're brought to you by the fine folks at Extend Technologies, XTENDAV.com. Hello.
Kenny, what incredible interview we just had last hour with Rodney McLeod of the Cleveland Browns. Must listen.
Would
be my official endorsement.
Strong stuff.
Strong stuff. Yes,
I told
indeed.
Him there were a lot of people who agreed and disagreed with Rodney. And I said, and I'll say it again tomorrow, welcome to our world.
Okay.
These are the things that happen.
I'm looking at the responses now. So obviously Rodney didn't watch a Tyreek Hill video. The officer arresting him was black, LOL, and he even comments on it. He goes on to, we had another one just saying they're never going to listen to the radio station again over this. And listen, this is the whole thing that I think is important. I mean, and it's happening in politics where groups of people cannot fathom that other groups of people think a certain way and feel differently than they do.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why somebody said, whose idea was it to ask Rodney McLeod about the Tyreek Hill thing? It's like, wait, really? The football player who drives in on game day and has to get to a stadium, his place of work, by a certain time, why would I not ask him that? Dude, every player in the NFL is thinking about that, trying to avoid that situation now the rest of the year. You can sure as hell bet that coaches are and security are talking to the players on each and every team in the NFL about that and how to avoid that situation. And of course, as humans in this country, it's great to debate these things. Like, what could Tyreek Hill have done differently? Also, what could law enforcement have done differently? And I think we'll find that most people will come to a logical understanding that, yes, Tyreek Hill could have done some things differently. First of all, I didn't need to drive 100 miles an hour or whatever it is. Do we have confirmation?
I haven't heard an actual speed limit.
Okay.
Let me look into that.
I've seen people speculate. I don't know officially. I'm talking out of my you know what there. The second part of it is, yes, law enforcement. I mean, they do training for a reason. We don't just accept whatever law enforcement does, no matter what, every single time. I think the last 10 years, I think we're 10 years to the day, 10 years and a month to the day of Ferguson, the very first incident that sparked a national movement.
Oh.
So why would you not want to hear from an NFL player when this happened to him? Like, if you had an issue, let's say you're you're working a press. And, you know, you're in an industry and there was a death in another town at a press. Like, you care about the stuff that happens in your world. This happened in their world. And, yes, they're all talking about it.
Rodney McLeod's, let's just call it what it is. Rodney McLeod's background is different from ours. And I want to hear what Rodney McLeod has to say. I'm interested in people with other backgrounds and what they have to say. We don't always have to agree with each other, but I have to give him the perspective because obviously he has a much different perspective than what I do. So, he wanted to offer up and talk about it, and I'm more than willing to offer up and talk about
these things. We're not doing right or wrong on something like this. It's, hey, yeah, we're asking him to come in and share his perspective. And you know what? He knew there'd be blowback. I talked to him off the air. He knew there'd be blowback. He knows that people disagree. Browns fans are going to disagree with players sometimes. You know what? It's a great country we live in that you have the ability to do that. I can't now look, it's your right to never listen to us again but think of how silly this sounds. You are not going to listen to a radio station anymore because you happen to have a different perspective than somebody else with a completely different background. I think that is small-minded. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine living in that world. I have different perspective from Ken on a lot of things in life. Guess what? I love the guy. I love the guy, and I want to hear him, and we can debate it, and then we can go forward. Like, do you people that have such hot takes, like I'm never going to do this again? Do you come from a perspective where you've only surrounded yourself with people that think exactly like you?
Yes, we have.
I can't imagine living in that world. I can't imagine.
At least from what we see online, I don't think it's really true in real life, but the stuff we see online, I think that there's people who have acted as if they surround themselves with only like-minded individuals. I mean, but there are people who they don't talk to family members anymore because of politics. They don't talk to any others because of politics. It's, it's the way it goes. So I support Rodney for having an opinion because we have a long season. He is with us for an hour each week, and I want him to be able to share his opinion. I felt bad that I had to put him. What I feel really bad about is that I had to put him basically up on the stand about week one.
Yeah, yeah.
And
he had to answer for it.
He could not. You should have seen his face when I had to press him on the punt return thing. I was like, oh boy. He's like, man, this is getting sweaty already. And it's like, boy, you guys better do it. Cause you're in here for 16 more weeks. So you better figure it out. Better figure it out. 16 more games anyway. College football. I don't know if we, do we turn it into a recap on Tuesdays anymore?
What do you want to do
with it? What do you want to do with it? Because we end up talking a lot of college football on the podcast.
Tuesdays has been a recap day.
But I want to save some of it for the air.
Yeah, that's fine. I have no problem. There's obviously college football wise over the weekend. I mean, Michigan and Notre Dame going down the way they did. Notre Dame to a what many would call, and they were huge underdogs, an inferior team. A Northern Illinois team that had their issues last year. I had them once last year. I had them twice the year before. So I've talked to their coach in person and over Zoom. I was thrilled for him. I love the emotion by Thomas Hammack after that game. And it was awesome coming back from Kent State because people know, if I'm a Buckeye fan, I'm obviously not a Notre Dame fan. I got a lot of friends in my world that are Notre Dame fans. I got a lot of friends in my world that are Michigan fans. So any day that both those teams lose, you can bet I'm having a good time watching it. That's the beauty of college football. I get to revel in your misery, and that was a miserable day for the two huge fan bases of those teams.
Hold on, I got to sneeze.
And I thought they were going to give the game to Notre Dame. They were doing everything they could.
I thought there was a little bit like, "Whoa, boy, you guys are really stopping clocks all this stuff." I thought it was great. I mean, Thomas Hammack went, you talked to the man. I mean, you had to interview him. You did production meetings with him before Matt Games. I mean, he was a guy who was on a hot seat a couple years ago, and it just felt like they were riding out the time. Then they put together that really nice season, kind of came back down to earth a little bit. This, I don't know what this does. They ranked him. They ranked him after that win.
Whoa.
They did. I think the coaches might have done it. I'm not sure. Yeah.
Northern Illinois?
Yeah.
They're 25.
Yeah. 20. Yeah, they ranked him. So,
hey, you went into South Bend. You got to win.
Of course. I mean, this is the time where things can slide 30 spots if you want them to. So, I mean, what the hell? And, you know, Northern Illinois has a really fun football history when you break it down. I mean, Jordan Lynch and the Orange Bowl and stuff like that. Like, that's really cool. But this is a unbelievable victory. It's something that you tell people for years to come. What it did do, and I'm glad for Thomas Hammett because it looks like, I mean, this was such a big thing. What it did do is you could sit there and tell me that it put Marcus Freeman on the hot seat. I think that this is the beginning of the end of Marcus Freeman at Notre Dame.
Just like that?
Yeah, I really do.
Wait a second. They just came off the Texas A&M win, and people were stoked about that victory.
Hold on.
What's the bigger win, though?
Texas A&M
taking Notre Dame beating Texas A&M or Northern Illinois beating Notre Dame?
No, I mean, Northern Illinois, that's a massive upset. But, I mean, the talk about Notre Dame and how well, they committed a lot of penalties in that game, but how they dealt with the heat. The heat, right, was a huge factor in that game.
In College
and
Station, yeah.
Talent-wise, I mean, Texas A&M has dudes.
Yeah, I know that we talk about that coaching, though, but this is 2 years in a row coaching, right? I mean, against Ohio State, he has 10 guys on the field.
Yeah.
You know, there's been already the talk of, are they making the playoffs or are they out of the playoffs already?
Well, I'd say,
you had them in automatic after week one.
I said they clinched, and so they didn't need that game against Northern Illinois.
Okay, so, sorry, I had to text out my wife. So, I think that, you know, you said already, yeah, because, you know, you said they might still make the playoffs. They're not winning out. If you're losing in Northern Illinois at home, you're not winning out. You're going to lose to probably Louisville at home. You'll probably lose to, I mean, USC is on that schedule. Mm. I know that schedule's light, but you're looking at 9-3 now, and maybe even 8-4. And with that, guys, they won against Texas A&M to start the year. So that puts your expectations high. They were ranked 5th. So now it changes. And remember, they lost to Marshall at home after losing to Ohio State week 1 2 years ago. So now you have two stupid losses. And if it were still year one, hey, that's year one. Brian Kelly just left. Maybe some took some players with him, or you weren't able to make the changes right off the beginning. I understand that. You're in year three, guy. And it's Notre Dame. So, I mean, you always warn against the Bill Stewart. Mm-hmm. Buddy, this is the Bill Stewart. Is Riley Leonard giving you any possibility? I don't know how much of Notre Dame you've watched. No, I'm not taking swings at you. Riley Leonard does not inspire any confidence in me right now. Plus, he's always hurt. He's always hurt. So Florida State, is Florida State always going to be 0-2 in garbage? Maybe. Maybe they will. Maybe they'll just lose to Notre Dame. Florida State's still on that schedule. It's not the same Florida State, I understand. There's still some teams. I think Tech's on that schedule.
But you've
that can
written
play
them off.
Tough.
You've already said there's no way they can win the USC game.
They're not in the playoff. I don't think they beat USC. Yep. I think they lose to Louisville at home. I think that team's ready to go. I just think it's – and I think that now – like, would he be fired after a 9-3 season this year? No, but then I think it gets the clock started on the next year. So I think that today, or Saturday, is something we talk about maybe after next season, 2025. Mm-hmm. In winter of 2025 to 2026, when we're talking about the vacancy at Notre Dame.
Well, the Notre Dame...
Hope I'm wrong. I like Marcus Freeman. Hope I'm wrong.
Just overall... But
you can't take these losses like this.
How do you feel about the essence of Notre Dame in that... The thought was expanding the playoff field to 12 was going to be very beneficial for Notre Dame.
Clearly.
And the fact that they don't have to play a conference championship game. Now it means they can never host, not host. They can never get the bye. You know, they're written out of that until they join a conference.
So there's, you know, you have this, you have this thought that it might help them, but let me go to the other side of this. What if this hurts them? You know, what if they get to the end of the season and say they do run the table 11-1, but say Texas A&M finishes 8-4.
Mm-hmm.
Say Florida State finishes 8.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
4-7-5, somewhere in there. Say they beat USC, but USC's only off to a good start, and maybe Miller Moss gets found out, and all of a sudden they got problems. You know, then all of a sudden you're like, are you having a fight with 10-2 teams? Do you get the boost just because you're Notre Dame? Because,
yes.
Well, wait a minute. Have they lost two lost SEC teams? Have they lost to another Northern Illinois on their schedule? What if Northern Illinois just finishes 7-6? Or 7-5 at the end of the year?
There is no world where one loss Notre Dame gets left out.
I'm just making sure. Because you do have to look at the loss and say, geez, that's a big loss. Mm-hmm. If Northern Illinois ends up 11-1 this year, then obviously there's something given. Or if they run the table somehow through the MAC and go 12-0. But I think they got another pay me game coming up here soon. I forget who they play. Is it Kentucky?
What? Who?
No, Northern.
Northern Illinois. I thought they had Buffalo this week, and then
They got another pin me pay me game, and I forget what it is. I think it might be NC State.
NC State.
Yeah.
On the 28th.
Hey, remember Akron beat them when Chuck the Chest was the head coach down there. They beat them down at NC State. Controversial final call, but Akron beat them. If Northern Illinois looks good, then you're probably right. But if Northern Illinois just looks like another MAC school, and they picked up one crazy win over Notre Dame, and they finished 7-5 or something like that, like, I don't know, it ain't going to help. It ain't going to help them at all. Honestly, you're probably right. Probably 11-1 Notre Dame would get in.
The thought of a home playoff game there at I can't imagine how big. See, that's the one thing that they've opened up with the playoff format is these home games on campuses, and being able to have South Bend host one of these games would be just a huge, huge coup for college football. I mean, imagine what that looks like. And I, you know, still annoyed the fact that the NFL is going to be going up against these games, or one game in particular. I forgot how it works. I know I was outraged about at the time, and I already can't remember the specific schedule for the the times where the NFL is going to be competing against the playoff, but I hate that to begin with.
It is during the opening round of the college football playoff, right? On Saturday?
Saturday.
Yeah, it's the 21st of December, I believe.
Is this the beginning of the end for Deion Sanders at Colorado?
Yeah, it looks like it.
Hopefully.
Whoa! Hopefully.
Well, Owen told me off the air, you had to go to the bathroom when you were talking about wanting to talk about Colorado.
Yeah, I'm like, say exactly what I said,
Andy. I said, Owen, what do you think? And Owen said that he had fatigue. He had Deion Sanders fatigue.
I am done with the Deion thing. I am done with watching his son get treatment with 4 minutes left in a game. I am done.
Is that not the time to get treatment?
With a program that I truly have no compassion for. Growing up a Buffaloes hater in the old Big 8 and the newly minted Big 12, Deion's ruining that program that was pretty much already ruined anyway, right?
Well, it wasn't a good program to begin with.
No, it's you're right. So ruining a program is kind of probably the wrong word, right? Because the program was ruined before he got there.
It was terrible.
But at the same time, I've said it a couple times on this podcast. I can admire someone doing something for his children, doing whatever it takes to get his children's dreams for them. I cannot admire someone that is throwing 70 other kids under the bus for his kid to get his dreams.
Well, they're just going about it. If they could be successful at all, it would be unorthodox. But they're going about it wrong. You know, you're trying to fix offensive line problems through a portal, or like you got a true freshman playing on that offensive line. And I mean, he's a stud, but you're playing against 20-year-old, like, you know what 1 year of a weight program at a major D1 college football program will do to a high school kid. And you're putting him out. That's why it's rare to have these guys play as true freshmen. That's why, like, there's usually you see fast twitch guys maybe get to play, like a wide receiver, like Jonathan Smith. Mm-hmm. You get to play him as a true freshman. But when it takes strength, and when it takes strength plus speed, you got to get them in a training program that's college, not just high school. And that takes a minute. So you're going to lose to studs. And he might be a stud, but studs who have been around for a couple of years, who have gone through that, they're going to get the advantage. Well, Nebraska, they have studs. They just have been falling short this entire time. So that's what happened back on Saturday. And Matt Rhule, I got to tell you, it takes a lot. That there were so many people. I think there were people who were mad at Matt Rhule for not running it up. I think they wanted him to run it up.
They did.
And I think Matt Rhule looked at it, and his post-game comments were perfect. He took a lot of swipes at Deion without, like, making it really publicly known he was taking swipes at Deion. But if you read between the lines, I mean, I was like, whoa, these are massive cannon fire at Deion Sanders in that program right now. He wasn't going to put anything crazy on tape, and he wasn't going to put Dylan Raiola in a bad spot and throw the ball all over and then put him in a pressurized situation just in case Colorado got lucky. He wasn't going to do that. So they won the game by 18. And what they did is they made Colorado quit. Shador Sanders went off the field. Deion said he was getting checked out. Already, people don't believe that crap. They didn't believe it from the very beginning. And I don't know what's the truth. I love Deion. The other thing is,
put me in that camp.
You hear these, put Owen in that camp. You hear these rumors coming out about him. What? He denies it. About them telling them not to play the fight song after Shador scores a touchdown.
Yeah.
Like, you can pick and choose those
now,
things.
Now, Joel Klatt went there, right?
That's a strong
thing. He's a Colorado
thing
guy.
To say.
He says it's not true, but the fact that you would even entertain that as could be true is because of Deion and how he has gone in there and shaken everything up.
I would
up.
Love to, as a guy who has, not currently, but in the past, worked in college stadiums and been the guy that plays the music. I can tell you absolutely 100%, not him, but someone has said, hey, that's Shador's song. Make sure when he scores,
right,
we hear that song. Now, I'm not saying Deion said that himself, but
That message we get delivered.
That message has absolutely been passed, and I will tell you that the message to the guy doing the music and the message to the band are two different messages. And that band's there to play music at a college football game. It's what makes college football great.
It's what separates it, yeah.
And
one of the things.
So one guy's going to do what he's told and probably doesn't care one way or the other what he's playing. And that band probably doesn't care what's being played.
Oh,
they're going to do.
The band cares.
Oh, I don't think
I think the band cares.
I think like I said, I take this from experience. I don't think they care.
I think
they have a different agenda than the football team at the football stadium during
the
football
game. Well,
now,
wait a second. If this were Ohio State and
you ain't telling that band to do anything.
And all of a sudden,
that's a different. They're in a different class.
Admittedly, I don't know much about Colorado's band. I don't know how
right, and that's all you need
revered
to know.
They are.
That's all you need to know is that you know enough about Ohio State's band.
Yeah, Wisconsin.
And you don't know anything about Colorado's band, and that's why they're in different classes.
Yeah, Wisconsin, Ohio State, Michigan, you're not doing anything counter to the traditions that have been established, you know, over the years.
Right.
Man, I saw people at the Browns game this week lose their minds when they realized Ohio State's band was going to be there, even though it's not the whole band.
Yeah.
That's just their, like, traveling band. They're much smaller contingent. It seems like an eighth of the band was there. And that is how revered the freaking band is at Ohio State. The people lost their minds and stopped. They literally stopped their conversation to run over.
Well, it's a celebrity.
To see it.
The band, it doesn't matter who is currently in the band. The band itself is a celebrity, right? So you're going to want to be a part of that, be around it when Ohio State's marching band is in town.
So, so look, the Deion thing, I thought there was nothing cooler in the world than them getting off to that start last year. To have Boulder, Colorado be the it place again.
Right.
Celebrities showing up, rappers showing up. We all wondered at the time, how long could he sustain this? Now, I did think, this is where I probably wasn't thinking it out long enough. I thought Deion was going to get guys because of that. I thought that start was going to be so unbelievable and shaking that sport to the core.
Mm-hmm.
A disruptor like we had not seen. I thought that was going to catch on. The problem is they went and lost all those games afterwards. Like, they really needed to keep that four-game blip was not going to be enough. And then he basically was not going to recruit high school kids.
Yeah.
So, and then when it comes to transfers, hey, it'd be cool to play for Deion and all, would it? Well, when you lose all those games, but I need the money. So it's still going to boil down to how much money they were going to make.
Yeah, and it's like once they have, like I'm hearing all these stories, and again, whether or not they're true, I'm not sure. But when you hear about how bad and toxic the locker room got last year, like what if they start off, like what if the rest of this month doesn't go well? We went over that schedule before, and it's like, you know, if at some point Shador might pull the plug. And if Shador pulls the plug, Travis Hunter's going to pull the plug. Or Travis Hunter's going to pull the plug, then Shador's going to pull the plug. They but don't have
sucks.
An offense.
Anthony. I want to watch those guys.
They don't run the ball.
Yeah.
They don't run the ball. And Pat Shermer's got to try to make some sort of heads or tails of this, which he's a good I know we make jokes, but he's a good football man. And he's been a good play caller in his history.
But it doesn't matter if your offensive line can't block.
And it also doesn't matter if the head coach is probably insistent that you make sure the ball is in my son's hands all the time. Because I think that he's trying to do that. And I got to tell you, like some of this stuff. It's going to be a very interesting offseason here where some of this stuff is going to come down to what you're willing to deal with as a football team or as an organization when it comes to the draft. Like, will he fall in the draft because of who his dad is and they don't want any of that stuff around? Or would Deion – I don't know what Deion will do. Can you see Deion staying at Colorado past this year?
No.
I can't.
No.
I can't.
No. And it's only going to get uglier. That's the thing. The more losses that occur.
And immediately for
guys
the next
jumping
coach,
ship.
For the next coach, it's going to be so tough because they're immediately going to throw the clamps right back on that program because they're going to be embarrassed. They're going to be upset. I mean, they did a full buy-in here, and they're going to be upset with it. And I don't know. I feel bad for the future. I feel bad for the future. I feel bad. I love Deion. This sucks. This really sucks. But I just think it's going to go in a bad direction. And I'm doing everything because I'm getting annoyed myself. I'm trying not to root against him. It sucks.
I was rooting for him because it was so unique what they were attempting to do. And to see, again, Boulder, just the people that are young will not understand this at all. But when I started watching college football, they were good. And that place was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And they had one of the great entrances in all of college football. Yeah. And it was just cool. It's hard to explain it. Like, I was so jealous. You know, our buddy Dustin got to call a game there a few years ago. It was right after the U.S. Open tennis was finishing up. And was it Serena or Venus? It was
Serena.
Her last match or whatever. And all of a sudden, they panned to Boulder, Colorado.
And there's Dustin.
In the mountains. And it was perfect, perfect. You know, getting into the night. It was awesome. And I'm like, I'm so jealous. I think it'd be so cool to go to a game there. And a lot of that is nostalgia from my youth. And they've just been bad for so long that it was incredible that he even got that energy and excitement going where they have a huge number at the spring game. I thought they had a huge, huge number. And it's just like, who's doing that? Nobody was doing that. But, I mean, this really seems like Linsanity. It's like a short blip where...
It's longer than Linsanity, though.
Is it in relative terms? Is it?
Yes.
two or three weeks each time.
God, Linsanity got annoying very quickly. All right. Goodbye.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. you get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.